Praise Jesus. Sister Diana, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me, John?
Yeah, I can tell you're loud. No gold bounce. Put some more heart into it. Boy, I was talking about Hezekiah praying. He's like, I have seen your tears. You know, 2 Kings 20, verse 5. You know, yeah. And I was talking about it because we don't put any heart into our prayers, you know. I think Yukon Cornelius would make a great prayer warrior. Put some more heart into it, boy. That bumble hungry. You know? You know, we can see the fingerprint of God everywhere if we just pay attention. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Go
exactly.
ahead. It's all yours now. I'm going to get him back.
Okay. Well, thanks for inviting me again. And let me just go ahead and ask God's hand to be on what's said here, John. Father, we thank you for bringing us together here this evening. And may everything said and done be to your praise, Lord, to your glory and honor. Lord, I ask your hand to be on my mouth, that every word be spoken as directed by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask you, open our eyes to see, Lord, our ears to hear what you're saying to your church in this hour. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, John, it was funny because when I kept calling and it was, you know, the lines are messed up and all that, can't connect. And I've been having a lot of trouble. It's like, you know, you're on the phone praying with people and stuff, and the spirit's really flowing and the phone goes dead. So I thought I better let them know now so we can start praying. But anyway, I was just thinking the last time I was on the program, it was March 1st. There weren't any, there weren't any lockdowns. There weren't, you know, any home stay-at-home orders at that time in the U.S. And I think we were just starting to get a few reported cases, okay, springing up here and there. But at that time, now I had a sense that it was going to be, or at least lead to, something very significant. And that was only because of the heads up God had, you know, been giving for several months. And, I shared with the listeners then how since September of last year, the Lord's messages had begun, had begun taking on a tone of urgency. So we knew something was coming, didn't know what, just that God was warning of a crossroads just ahead of us. And I believe I even called it that when went on the program last. But anyway, as I prayed about the message tonight, getting that I'm first to remind the listeners of two specific words that I shared back in March. And these are just to lay the foundation of what I feel the Lord's saying to his people right now, because he is giving some very specific warnings, instructions, but a lot of encouragement to the body of Christ is what I'm hearing. But before I share the most recent words, let me take about 5 minutes real quickly to, lay the foundation. And we'll start with what the Lord woke me up saying. And that was the morning of, let me pull this up here, the 23rd, September 23rd, 2019. And I was sound asleep at 3:30 when suddenly the Lord said, get up. This is going to go much quicker than you think. Now, I can't obviously take the time right now to cover what was shown after that, but you can go to the website and look this up. It's going to be much quicker than you think is what it's called on there. And as we go along, I'll try to remember to reference the post so, you know, the folks can look up later. More details if you'd like to, but that's the point God wants us to keep in mind right now as we proceed from this day on, that this is going to go much quicker than we think. And it's interesting, it was prefaced with get up, get up. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But then the very next month in October, I had a dream of seeing the same scene over and over all through the night. and it was a throng of people covering a mile or so wide highway, and they were all walking in unison very rapidly. You know, they were shoulder to shoulder, all heading in the same direction. And the Lord said, veer off this road. They're heading for destruction. And as I explained, I immediately saw a tiny exit ramp on the left side of the highway and began veering towards it, you know, in obedience as to what he was saying to do. But as I got there, I couldn't see where it led, you know, the direction. I couldn't see anything past a few yards, but panic started to set in. You know, my flesh was screaming for me to go back. But just as that hit, I heard God say, this is uncharted territory. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the way that leads to destruction. Now, just a side note, I was asked by a reader if the throng of people represented the church or the world. And let me just say, we were all together, okay? The church walking along with the world. And I was down there walking too. But if you notice, he said, veer off this road. They are heading for destruction. So God's clearly telling his people it's time to take the exit ramp, you know, to come out of Egypt, so to speak. But the reason I believe God wanted me to backtrack and cover these two points before going further is because this is exactly what's happening, okay? Most of the world, especially the governments, seem to be joined in perfect lockstep agreement. You know, they're all walking rapidly in the same direction. But God's saying they're heading for destruction, and he's commanding his saints to veer off this road now, to enter that small, narrow path that that we've not traveled before, okay? And he's telling us it's uncharted territory, which, you know, of course, means walking totally by faith on our part. Now, let me share what happened just a few days after I was on the program last. And now, this was the first week in March, and I took a trip with a couple of family members to the Ark Encounter there in Kentucky. And for those unfamiliar with it, that part contains a replica of Noah's Ark, in that they do use the actual dimensions from the book of Genesis. So, I mean, it was really awesome. But let me read a section from the website of what happened. Just a short section here. Let me pull that up. As I walked across the field towards the ark, I couldn't take my eyes off it. And it was as if I was being drawn towards it. And suddenly, I felt a powerful move of the Spirit, and I heard the following. Come to the ark. I am calling my people to the ark. I will seal you safely inside. You have a short window. Do not delay. And thanks this, coupled with what the Lord had been telling me since September, it really shook me up. And as I was even walking through there, you know, he would be saying these things over and over. I was in tears sometimes, just flowing down, trying to hide, you know, where people couldn't see. But here again, he was warning of the destruction that this world's heading towards. And as I mentioned a minute ago, the tone of the warnings had completely changed. And in years past, the warnings were of things coming, okay, like soon, shortly, coming. But now they're of what's upon us. That's the sense that I'm getting. So it's time for God's people to enter the ark. And God made plain, this is that secret place, okay, spoken of in Psalm 91. And in this place, he'll cover us with his feathers, okay, and under his wings we'll take refuge. It's in this place we don't have to be afraid, you know, of the terror by night and the arrow that flies by day. You know, we don't have to be afraid of the riots, you know, that are coming in the streets. And I've seen the streets full of blood. You know, I've seen that and visions and dreams. But we don't have to be afraid of the sights we're going to see, because God says no evil will befall those who make the Lord their dwelling place, and no plague will come near your dwelling. So just now, just let me just say that as fear and panic grip the world, you know, like what we've been given a tiny glimpse of already, it's only those dwelling in the ark of God, in that place of peace and rest, whom God will be able to use in ministering, you know, to the lost and weary. And you mentioned that a minute ago, John, you know, getting out there. And if you're in a place of peace and rest and everybody's freaking out, wow, look what God can use you for in ministering to the lost, to the panic, the weary. I mean, but you've got to be in this place to be used by God, because many will finally be ready to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved in the days that are upon us. And he's telling us it's time to enter the ark. And the door hasn't been shut yet. He said we have a short window. But we are warned, do not delay. Do not delay. And another thing, because somebody asked me this too, but let me emphasize, this is a spiritual ark that God's talking about, not the physical places of what, safety or refuge, as they call them, that some may be led to later on. It's a spiritual ark. The secret place of the Most High is where he's telling us to come now. So to continue on, I got back home from this trip on March the 8th. And let's see, at that time, governors were just beginning to declare states of emergencies. And we all know what happened, you know, from there. But it was just a day or so after my return that God reminded me of a word he'd given back in February. Now, I had no idea the meaning at the time. I mean, he hadn't given me an interpretation, and that's why I hadn't even written it up. But let me just share a few sections of the post titled Gather the Evidence with you, and then make a couple comments. I'm just going to share a short section there. But on one night, the first week in February, all through the night, I was given instructions by the Lord through the repetition of a dream. And in the dream, it was as if I was put into the role of a detective of some sort. And I kept hearing the word watch and observe. I was sifting through papers, and I was like a fly on the wall in this dream. I was watching myself do all this stuff, but I was sifting through papers and separating, you know, certain ones out. And I wasn't shown the content of what I was looking at or what I was supposed to be looking for. The following words were spoken throughout the night. And again, as I woke up, I heard the Holy Spirit say, watch and observe, gather the evidence. Now, I got up, and although I wrote the words in my journal, what I heard, and, you know, the gist of the dream and everything, like I said, I really didn't know what the Lord was referring to. I wasn't given the answer until shortly after returning from the ark trip, when God reminded me of what he had said in February. And it just so happens that I was told, watch and observe, gather the evidence, close to the time the very first COVID-19 case was reported. It was just reported in the U.S. But God made that connection for me later, that it was not a coincidence and was exactly what I was supposed to watch and observe and gather the evidence on. But the word evidence, obviously, I just want to say, it just means to certify and testify, prove, you know, or inform. And what I'm getting ready to share is what was observed, which then provided the evidence of what God wanted us to see to be going on. And for lack of time, I'll just give you a few of the standouts from the original post, and then I'll point out, you know, what were the takeaway is on this. But as weeks passed, we watched and heard reports of, you know, COVID-19 spreading to all the states. And what stood out the most was the fear and the panic that was spreading, you know, which we knew, you know, and look at what's happened. It's more hazardous than any virus, you know, that fear and panic. But while observing all of it, I kept hearing in my spirit, fear not, practice run, dress rehearsal. And I, matter of fact, I even, as things were happening, I was even telling some of my family members, like, that were just aghast, like, oh, I told them that. I said, this is, it's going to pass. It's going to lighten up. If this is really started, you know, like a birth pains, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but if this is like the birth pains, if they've really started, it's still going to lighten up. So just wait, don't panic, you know, but things quickly at that point, you know, begin to get really crazy, you know, as it progressed. And of course I won't go there, but we've all heard all this crazy stuff going on, you know, like the stuff you were talking about, John, and along this whole time here. But at a certain point, I started getting really hyped up and anxious, and I knew I needed to get alone with God. I mean, I was having like problems with anger, you know, when I saw what they were doing. It's like, that's not making sense, you know, this is blah, blah, blah. And, but, so I got really hyped up and anxious and got alone with God. And then after stilling myself and just entering into communion with Him, the Holy Spirit began bringing a lot to my attention. And the first thing shown, we're purposely being distracted by all the confusion surrounding the entire situation. And God told me it didn't matter. That it's not important we know every detail to the point of spinning in circles like what I was doing, I guess, but we're not to take anxious thought, which is what I'd begun to do, and He'll make sure, you know, He'll make sure we know what we need to know. John, you and I have talked about that before, how God just keeps, you know, bringing things to you and shedding light. But what we do need to know is it's an orchestrated event by the evil one meant to further his agenda. You know, the need to examine the evidence then was impressed upon me to prove this. Like, how do I know it's orchestrated by the enemy? So we know from Scripture, though, that God's not the author of confusion in 1 Corinthians 14:33. And as well as the fact we're not to fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, as it says in 2 Timothy 1:7. But confusion, fear, and anxiety is a favorite tool of the devil used to overwhelm us. You know, it just allows him to cover us with a cloud of darkness. So another clue that the Lord gave was citizens being advised to stop getting information from any source other than their government. And that was happening all over, and of course all the censoring going on now. But that the citizens were being told they were to look to the government for truth and instructions, and then that's when, you know, the danger flags rose within my spirit when I heard this, because as far as our being any source of truth, Scripture tells us Thy word is truth, and then. The last thing on that was President Trump himself provided a big piece of evidence when he said, we're fighting an invisible enemy. Now, he said that several times. That's really interesting. But we're fighting an invisible enemy. And the moment I heard him say this, the Holy Spirit confirmed what we're dealing with on this whole situation, of course. And it's not flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there's another area. Let me go further here. There's another area now that the Holy Spirit pointed to, which I believe I'm to discuss briefly here before continuing. Sadly, what we've observed, and still are observing a lot of this, is that most Christians are displaying as much fear as the unbelievers. And I just had a telephone conversation with a pastor friend of mine, and he told me it's breaking his heart, you know, to witness all the fear in the church. People afraid to even hug one another. It's what he was telling me. He said, now he did make clear. He says, you know, I make clear to people that they need to use wisdom, common sense, and all things. But he said if he felt someone needed a hug, he gives them a hug. So that's being led by the Spirit. So when I asked him, though, how he thought Jesus might handle these social distancing guidelines, we both had a good laugh, you know, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But we know what's happening hasn't caught God by surprise one bit, and the Lord's given us ample warning, a heads up of what's coming. He wants us to wake up and understand what time it is, you know, and he's telling us to gather the evidence because it is all around us. To use this time wisely is what he told me next. And I heard you allude to it a little bit there, John, but that's a huge, huge thing. As mentioned a minute ago, I've continually heard since the very beginning of this so-called crisis is practice, run, dress, rehearsal. And at first I thought God was only referring to what the enemy was doing, but God's making clear it's also a practice run for his saints. We know the ultimate goal of the devil's to create a system to take control of every aspect of our lives, which we see that, you know, being attempted. And this worldwide move we're witnessing is his attempt to get his troops aligned and in position, you know, to prepare people to accept the new order of things. But God wants us to focus on what he's doing in all this. And as I just said, it's also a practice run for God's people. It's already revealed a lot to me personally, and I think probably everyone would feel that way if you're one of his saints. But I wasn't ready. You know, it's revealed to me how unready I was for things to just hit like that. I think we can all agree this is a precious time given to us by God for some final training. It really shook me up that, you know, how I responded by anger and getting distracted. But God wants our eyes fastened on him, on what he's doing. He's using this shaking, and it's a minor shaking, to awaken his people and as many as will be awakened. So throughout the Bible, we see God's mercy displayed, even as he unleashed his righteous judgments. We can see it all through the Bible. His heart's desire is always for the people to repent and turn from their wicked ways. And he always gives ample warnings beforehand. Even as judgments begin to be unleashed, he allows a pause between each, looking for repentance. And in Matthew 24, Jesus describes these times that we're in as beginning of sorrows. And in one area, talking about birth pains, and of course that means throes, the birth pangs of a woman as during childbirth, spoken to people that it's like they look at that with anxiety. They take, you know, have a lot of anxiousness concerning this topic of when this begins. But saints, the Lord wants to encourage us. And I feel led to share a portion of a word given back in 2017, and the title of that is The Birth Pains Will Soon Begin. And I believe this helps shed light on what the saints can expect during that time. And please let me quote, hold on just a minute here. Let me pull that up. I want to quote just a portion of what the Lord told me that night. Like I said, this was in 2017. He said, the birth pains will soon begin. During the pains, I am your focal point. Keep your eyes fastened only on me. After each, you must draw ever closer to me, my will in preparation for the next. I will keep you perfectly aligned for what's coming. Do not be concerned about anything. Just look to me. Other people's lives will depend on your focus. I am entrusting you with the lives of many. And that was the end of that word. But as mentioned, it was given back in 2017 saying the birth pains will soon begin. I believe we've now entered the season in this so-called, if this so-called crisis isn't the first contraction, is to prepare us for it. Okay, this is such a time of preparation that the Lord has blessed us with. You know how the scripture says, what the enemy means for your harm, God will use for the good of those that love him and do those things pleasing in his sight. So God's using this to bless us. Also, the parable of the 10 virgins apply here because it relates to the period we're in. You know, only 5 of them maintained an intimate relationship with their bridegroom. And that was made clear. Of course, when the door was slammed shut, you know, on the foolish virgins, as Jesus told them, I never knew you, in Matthew 25:11-12. But the parable centers around the need to keep our lamps ready, making sure they're filled with oil at all times. And the oil comes at a price. You know, they were told, you know, the foolish ones, sure, that go and buy from those that sell. But it comes at a price, and it will cost you, especially in, you know, the spending of your time. Wow, that's huge right there. But the foolish virgins weren't willing to pay the cost to develop intimacy with him while they had the chance. This is our chance. This is our chance. So the Lord's given us this precious time to make sure our lamps are full. And if we use this time wisely, he'll keep us in perfect alignment and prepare us for whatever is coming next. And this should really comfort, you know, all of us right now. And the following is what the Lord's given recently to prepare us for what's coming. And I want to give you the title here for the website, Place My Blood on Your Doorpost. And I'll read part of it straight from the post. And let me just take a drink here real quick. Okay, I'm just going to read, like I said, a part of it. Okay, this was the second week in March when I began hearing the Holy Spirit say, place my blood on your doorpost. Well, at first I didn't think it any different than other times, you know, that the Lord's impressed upon me to do this. And I was obedient and did as instructed, anointing myself as well as the doors of my home, you know, and I was pleading the blood of Jesus over everything. I also took communion, you know, as I usually do on these occasions. But even after obeying his instructions, I continued receiving the same message. And the Lord began pointing me towards the Passover that was coming up at that time on April the 9th and stressed the need for me to review the original Passover, okay, which I did. And just for reference here, you can read, you know, all about the original Passover, Exodus 11, chapter 11 and 12. But after Pharaoh was told about the coming plague that would kill all the firstborn of Egypt, Moses said this, but against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between Egypt, the Egyptians, and Israel. And then next, God gave Moses instructions for observing the Passover. And of course, we know the families of Israel, you know, they were to choose a lamb or goat without blemish and kill it at twilight. And they were to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the top, you know, on the doorposts and lintel of their houses. And God told them, on the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Now the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And that part is Exodus 12, 13. So God is calling his people out again. You know, he says, wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues, Revelation 18, 4. So he's calling his people out of this world that we received not of her plagues. And he's telling us to place my blood on your doorposts. Saints, now we have the perfect lamb. We have the perfect lamb now. Jesus is our Passover lamb. And in 1 Corinthians 5, it says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. He's the lamb that was slain for us, Revelation 5, 6, and verse 12. So, brethren, something very significant is placing, you know, taking place right now, and it's huge. I mean, it was so big in my spirit, and it still is. The entire world right now is in various stages of lockdown. And even though, like they're coming out, some are not, you know, some are not. I do believe that it will come back again, not through, maybe through this, but, it, you know, like it's a practice run. So, but God's calling upon his people to come out of her, and he's giving instructions to come under his shelter of protection. We're to place the blood of Jesus over our doorposts, and the blood of the Lamb is to be placed on the doorposts of our heart, okay? Now, there's something really big in my spirit right now that we need to understand, and many may have a lot of head knowledge concerning this. I mean, I've heard of it. I've thought about it, but, you know, we really need to know it. Let it go down deep and permeate every fiber of our being. And if you'll just bear with me a couple minutes, these are scriptures that we know, but God wants to, again, lay a foundation to show us something here. Okay, when Adam and Eve were created, we know from scripture the hosts of heaven were astonished and wondered what in the world God had done. You know, one even asked, and this is referenced, you know, Hebrews 2, verse 6 to 9, and Psalms 8, 4, I think in Job somewhere too. But what is man that you're mindful of him? You know, the son of man that you visit him, for you've made him a little lower than Elohim, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, saints, when God originally made Adam and Eve, he crowned them with glory and honor. And they were given dominion over the work of God's hands. And it sounds like that means all of God's creation, the work of his hands. And it says all things were put in subjection under man's feet. And of course, we know they fell, you know, and his glory was removed from them. But we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Saints, he got it back, you know, through his blood shed to pay the penalty for our sins, the glory and honor had been restored to man through Christ Jesus. Okay, this is only obtained through Jesus. His atoning blood must be applied, not only to cleanse us from sin, but also to cover us. Okay, and the inferior blood of animals was used, you know, to cleanse the physical temple of God in Israel, you know, right? But and the anointing oil, which we know represents the Holy Spirit, was applied to set apart and sanctify the vessels to be used in God's service. So only after these two things, the blood and the oil, were applied, could God indwell the temple. Only after the blood and the oil were applied could God indwell the temple and fill it with his glory. And let me insert something here. Back on November 29th, this last November, it was at 2:45 a.m., and I was awakened by these words being loudly proclaimed. The bridegroom shall suddenly come to his temple. There will be no more delays. My temple is made without human hands. I am going to fill my temple with my glory. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Saints, the church, the body of Christ, is the temple of God. We know that. And it's being prepared now to be filled with his glory. We're being told to use this time wisely, to make sure we keep our lamps filled with the oil of the Spirit and apply the blood over our doorposts. Remember, the oil and the blood are used to prepare the temple to be filled with his glory. And, I mean, I apply the blood to Jesus to everything in my life since I've done it for a while, but, you know, especially now, I'm very mindful of the blood of Jesus. I do it by faith, you know, I apply it by faith. And even physically, via anointing oil, you know, that using anointing oil when led to do so, I do it physically as well. But let me insert something here, because so many people, you know, have asked how or when the glory will come, or, you know, I'm sure you get asked that a lot too, John, but when will it, you know, come to fully indwell us? And although none of us have, you know, all the answers, I've had several dreams and visions about it, but for lack of time, I do want to share a quick vision, one that was given to me back in 2014. And this is of the circumstances surrounding, you know, when this takes place. So on the website, it's called, let me look here, The Light Will Rise Above the Darkness. And again, this is just a portion of it. Okay, let me read this. I saw the earth from about the distance of an orbiting satellite. As I watched, darkness began to gather around the planet. It appeared as dark clouds and increased until it encircled the earth like a blanket. The heavy darkness then began to descend. As the darkness descended, I saw lights begin to appear and sparkle all over the surface of the planet. Soon it looked like the photos you see from satellite of developed countries at night. But these lights were appearing all over the earth. The lights eventually became so bright it was blinding, and they started to rise from the surface of the earth. And the brightness of the lights increased until it appeared as one great light rising up to meet the descending darkness. Then millions of light rays began piercing and shooting through until finally the light completely penetrated and rose high above the darkness. Now that's the end of the vision. The saints, that darkness is gathering around the planet now. I can feel it. It's encircling the planet like a blanket. just as that blanket of darkness begins descending downward, it's when I saw the lights underneath begin to come on. Okay, it's like you could, I mean, the darkness really, truly did completely, all I could see is clouds at first, the like dark, dark clouds. And then they were gathering, accumulating, and then pretty soon I couldn't even see the earth. It was just this round ball of clouds. But little by little, you know, I saw the lights begin to come on as it begins descending down towards the earth. And more came on like flashlights, you know, like you could see through that darkness, these little flashlights come on all over. But that's the way it looked. But I'll quit reading there. But so I see it as a situation of from glory to glory. Okay, until at some point we come completely together as one holy temple unto the Lord. And the temple's filled with his glory as we rise up above the darkness to take our seat in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, we will do greater works than even he did. And this is when we will trample on snakes and scorpions. Finally walking in the glory, honor, and dominion Jesus died to give us. What we've been called to do in this last time. Let's look at what's happening right now. Okay. I'd like to share a portion right here of what the Lord spoke to me throughout the night. And now this was April 16th. This is very condensed for lack of time. Now, before I was given this, let me just say up front, I'd become, like I said, preoccupied and focused on all the events going on out there when I noticed an anxiousness growing in my spirit. And that day, God began to settle me down and see I was, you know, and I saw that I was taking anxious thought. And I mean, once I got into that, I was having a difficult time being still to even hear from God, okay? But once he got me settled down, I repented and spent the rest of the day in prayer and the word. And that night, while I slept, all through the night, I heard the Lord speaking. And the following is what was spoken. My people are afraid to let go of this world. They are kept in bondage through fear of death. The lions are roaring. Who among you will shut the mouth of these lions? Remember, you are not of this world, as I have chosen you out of the world. You are my ambassadors and your citizenship in heaven. The news of the coming kingdom of God is the real news, and you are my witnesses. You are the light of the world and will not remain hidden. For you must be put upon the lampstand to provide light for all the house. I alone will be glorified, and every knee will bow to me. And as this world hates me, so will it hate you. Remember what I told you, what was before will be again. Gird yourself. So here again, God points to fear keeping his people in bondage because they're afraid to let go of this world. They're afraid to veer off onto uncharted territory and walk by faith, you know, trusting God. Like you said a while ago, John, I heard you say it, you know, who has faith? I mean, do you have faith in God? So the evil one knows he needs to keep the church silent. You know, he's terrified of God in us. He's terrified of the thought his fear mongering won't be effective enough to keep us cowered down in a corner in fear and confusion. The devil has every reason to be terrified. God says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision, which means ridicule or mockery. And that's in Psalm 2, verse 1 to 4. And God sits in the heavens and laughs. He confounds the counsel of the wise and turns their knowledge into nonsense, says in Isaiah 44, 25. God says the lions are roaring and is asking who among his people will shut the mouth of these lions. And the word says the righteous are as bold as a lion, Proverbs 28, 1. We're told to consider the saints of old, who through faith, they subdued kingdoms, and they stopped the mouths of lions, and out of weakness were made strong. Hebrews 11, 33 through 34. So, saints, we need to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, he says we're not of this world. He says that our citizenship is in heaven. We are only here now as ambassadors of Jesus. And when we open our mouth, it should be to bring the good news of the kingdom to the world around us. We're his witnesses. Jesus said, we're the light of the world and cannot remain hidden. So we must be put on the lampstand to provide light for all in the house. And this directly ties in to the last thing that God spoke to me that night. He said, as the world hates me, so will it hate you. Remember what I told you. This was, what was before will be again. Gird yourself. Now, a major division is coming within the church. And those who continue to kowtow to the God of this world will stand against those who arise to do the works of Jesus. And as it was in the beginning, so will it be again. Of course, we can look at the book of Acts, you know, which shows how it was in the beginning. God's giving a heads up, telling us, gird yourself. The day is rapidly approaching, and even now upon us, when those who speak and do as the Holy Spirit leads, will come into major conflict with the rules of man. And I asked the question earlier about how would Jesus handle social distancing? And Jesus touched and laid hands on the people all the time. Mark 10, verse 16 says he took the children in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. And Luke 4, 40 says, they brought those who were sick with various diseases, and laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. That's not allowed. I just heard that, thinking about what all he did and what they would say. You know, is that not what they'd tell Jesus today? Jesus said he only said what he heard the Father say, and he only did what he saw the Father do. Does that describe you? I mean, they're arresting people all over the globe now for preaching the Word of God and violating these stupid social distancing guidelines. They're, you know, imagine going out and laying hands on the sick and raising the dead. If you're doing the works of Jesus, greater works than he did. So touching on this very thing, God reminded me of what he showed me in May of 2019. So this was in May of last year. And I was shocked when I went back to read it. I mean, it describes the times we've entered, and it's called Signs and Wonders Will Follow on the website. And I'll only read just the first part of it here. And let me pull this up. Okay, one morning, the end of May 2019, I began feeling an intense sorrow and heaviness come over me. I asked the Lord what was happening. Where was this coming from? After some time in prayer, I was impressed it was impressed upon me. I was being shown the heart of God. But the reason for the sorrow wasn't given until later that evening. So I prayed quietly in the spirit for the remainder of the day. But by evening, it had progressed to a deep groaning. I was just groaning in the spirit before him. Soon, after kneeling beside my bed, images began flooding my mind. A crescendo of events came rushing in. Okay, from what seemed like a bird's eye view, I saw floods, fire, drought, various conflicts, and wars breaking out. A complete state of chaos over the earth. Then everything zoomed in close and I could sense the heart of the people. Vast confusion, fear, and suffering permeated the atmosphere. I saw evil just mushrooming to the point where anything good, anything lovely and of God became a hated target. And what came next explained the anguish I'd been feeling all day. I saw the targeted destruction of that which God created to bless mankind, marriage, children, the church, okay? I saw blood being spilled all over the earth. At that moment, I cried out, "Oh, God, please help us. Come soon, Lord Jesus." I then heard the Holy Spirit say, "The whole earth is groaning in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God." And I felt very remorseful and began to repent, not only for me, but for the entire church. You know, here all creation was crying out, but the church was silent. I was silent. I mean, I'm not out on the streets much. But I turned the lights out. I went to lay down and began to fall asleep while praying. And then suddenly in the spirit, I saw myself rise from the bed and began walking. I was walking towards a group of people huddled together in the back corner of a room. And it was their cries I heard that drew me in their direction. The room was dimly lit, but there appeared to be at least six or more people crouched down on the floor. They were trembling in fear, desperately trying to hold on to one another. And as I walked towards the group, I knew I was being watched. Although my focus remained straight ahead on the group, I was aware in the spirit of many eyes watching me to see what would be done. It was also impressed upon me, if I continued walking in that direction, there would be consequences. But I continued walking. And the love of God was flowing through me so strongly at that point, nothing could stop me. And as I reached the group, I extended my hand towards them. Instantly, whatever their individual needs were, God met them. And I knew that they were met. And I then heard the Lord say, "When my people are moved with compassion, signs and wonders will follow." Now, that's the end of that vision, but this vision really moves me right now because it describes what's happening today pretty much to a T. You know, what they're doing to keep us separate and getting set up to watch our every move. And, you know, the fact I was aware of being watched, you know, by many eyes to see what I would do, you know, knowing there would be consequences if I continued walking towards the group. And I mean, wow, think about it. The devil knows the trouble he had with Jesus and that first century church as they went around, they went around destroying all his work, you know, laying hands on the sick, raising the dead, and all those things. And I'm thinking he thinks he's got it all figured out this time, you know, with all of his distancing and you know, surveillance and all those things. Nab us as soon as we get there. But Jesus described the end times before his return as a time when his followers will be hated of all nations, you know, for his name's sake. And that's Matthew 24:10. And this will be a global hatred, not just here and there. And let me say this as I wrap up. the last thing the Lord told me, and the lions are roaring, which I'm to tell you is this: gird yourself. And to gird, we know, means, really it's to secure, but it's encircle, you know, to encircle like a person or body part with a belt or a band, but it basically means to secure. And I believe God's given instructions to do just that, and instructions on how we're to gird ourselves, you know, we're to use our time wisely, take shelter in his ark of protection, you know, his secret place, we're to dwell there. And remember, you know, the labor pains and his instruction to stay focused on him during the actual contraction, when those hit, whenever they come. And after each pain, he says, you must draw ever closer to him and seek his will in preparation for the next. Saints, he's promising. He promises to keep you perfectly aligned for what's coming. You know, but above all, we're to be mindful to stay covered in the blood of Jesus. And, you know, it's only through the blood of Jesus that we're protected. Only his blood cleanses us of all sin, giving us his protective covering. You know, it's only through Jesus and his righteousness that God can crown us, you know, the body of Christ, with his glory. So I just hope that that's encouraging to everyone. I just pray that the Lord ministers, you know, through this word to our hearts, to give us encouragement, to give us instruction and peace in these days. So, John, I'll turn it back over to you now.
Wow. Yeah. Praise God. I'm, you know, that's a revelation for me. I really, you know, I think there's a reason why the Lord keeps me so insanely busy, because otherwise I'd be out there probing around and looking around and stuff like that, and I would know things, and then I wouldn't get the supernatural zing that comes along with a revelation associated with somebody coming on the program such as yourself and confirming things that I felt too. And I don't even know why I feel the things that I feel when I feel them. You know what I mean? I really don't. And I am the last person in the world to go, you know, to just kind of beat my chest and say, well, the Holy Spirit told me. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know who's talking to who. I don't know. It's not like the Holy Spirit shows up and there's this big bright light shines in my eyes and goes, hey, I'm the Holy Spirit. Listen up there, bunk boy. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm just being honest. And then something happens. And when the Lord was, you know, telling you that this was kind of like a drill, that was kind of like the same exact feeling that I got. I even started sharing that on the program earlier. You know, I'd call it a sanctified hunch or whatever. And, you know, and also mentioning the concept of, you know, how we all need more time, you know, and it's not just, it's more time in so many different ways, because you don't know your vulnerabilities and your weaknesses. Look, like it or lump it, we're in the flesh. You know, you can be as spiritual as you want to be, but at the end of the day, when someone chops your hands off, you're going to say, ouch! Okay, you know? So the bottom line is, we got to learn how to deal with all those weaknesses, the fleshy side, preparation in the fleshy side, getting ourselves in a place in our walk where we are okay with losing everything.
Yes.
You know, we are okay. Hey, Lord, do you want me to go ahead and move now and get rid of all this junk and garbage, you know, and whatever?
Exactly.
And go, you know, follow your lead and all that. And, you know, I just had this feeling the whole time. Don't get me wrong. I had those moments where I was like, hey, this could be. I mean, I was wavering there quite a few times. But, you know, deep down inside, I have been consistent. I mean, the prayer vigil, the last prayer vigil we did, you know, the evidence is there that the Lord has been powerfully leading me. Either that or, you know, I don't know, who knows, but I guess it had to be the Lord leading me, because it just, you know, it's overwhelming. And it's been to come against the darkness and the entities that are orchestrating this whole thing, because I just don't feel in my heart, which you can say is my spirit or whatever you want to call it, or you can say it's my boneheaded opinion, but at the end of the day, I just never felt that looking at the Bible, looking at the things Jesus warned us had to happen, you know, the end is not yet. You know, first they will bring you four magistrates. Don't worry about what you're going to say, you know, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm looking at all these, this big list of stuff that has to happen. And I'm going, wait a minute. We're not there yet. There's a lot of stuff on the list that needs to get checked off first. And I thought to myself, if this continues at the, you know, at the rate, I don't know what you want to call it, at the level of impact, you know, looking
at
all these other places. Yeah, they're fighting in the streets. They're setting things on fire. They're knocking trucks over there, so freaked out. And it's just unbelievable. And I thought to myself, if this continues, how in the world is our Heavenly Father going to bring forth the rest of all of these biblical timeline events that need to be? People be out there so crazy freaking out because they're, you know, it just didn't make sense. It just wasn't adding up. I just knew that our Lord, our Father, was going to give us this opportunity to make the necessary adjustments in our lives, which probably are many. You know, one of the things for me is I got to finish painting my house. You know, so, and you might be like, why is that important? Well, because I have a feeling that I'm going to have to sell it and bolt.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to be selling a house that's half tan and half gray.
Exactly.
You know, you lose a lot of money that could go into the kingdom and help people, you know? So thank you for confirming all these things that I was feeling myself. And it's funny too, because while I was in this continuous state of self-examination, am I missing something? Intentionally putting my hands over my spiritual ears while other believers were out there going, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, yay, saith the Lord. And I'm just putting my hands over my ears going, la, 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 la. I do not hear that. I do not hear that. They're inviting me to Facebook groups, and I'm like going, I don't think so.
I know. I
you know what I mean?
I can't watch. I can't read. No.
Because you got to keep your heart independent, right? You got to keep your heart independent. You're getting
pummeled. You do. You have to fill yourself up. Because I was scared because I thought, I mean, I was scared because I saw how miserably I was doing. It's like, oh, Lord God.
Oh, man.
Repentance, you know, because I'm getting angry. And I mean, if this would have been the real deal, we would have progressed. We would be getting our butts kicked. You know,
hey, I admit it. Physician, heal thyself. I raised my hand. This whole thing got me so frustrated. Not it wasn't so much that I didn't. Sometimes it bothers me when I'm telling people these are the things that we need to be looking out for. Here's the top big 10. So I thought to myself, no one really saw this coming. And I don't recall any prophecies worth their salt, really. I mean, of course, people, you know how people are. They'll always be like, well, I prophesied that. And you go look at the prophecy and it doesn't sound anything like what's going on. But they want to believe that it, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, it's just not adding up. The time isn't now. We're really, really close, but this can't be it. And so I don't know. I have a very powerful, strong feeling that some civil unrest may break out. The Dimitri Dudeman, you know, civil unrest in the central part of the United States may become a reality. You know, there's probably a few more boxes that'll get checked from a prophetic standpoint. But I really think there's going to be a pause. I don't think the signs and the sun and the moon and the star seas roaring stuff's ever going to stop. I think all the earth changes, things are going to continue to go on. There will be ramp up of World War III positioning of troops as we've been seeing thus far. More you know, saber rattling with North Korea as they prepare to attack, which they're getting ready to right now. We're going to see all these things happening. And we already saw the launching of the satellite you know, from Iran. So they're getting ready to launch a guided missile, which supposedly have to have going to have a nuclear tip on it. There's a lot of stuff queued up, a lot.
Yeah. This.
We're not ready.
Yeah, I knew we were going to get a reprieve. I didn't know how soon or how bad it was going to get, but I did. I told everyone I knew that there would be a reprieve. You know, there'd be time to, you know, God just, he just relayed that to me, you know, just early on. So I'm just so thankful. Yeah. For what he's allowed here.
I've been praying priest of all, the way in the name of Jesus Christ and by the blood of the Lamb of God, I declare the holy fire of God to shoot down from the heavens and to burn these evil tares where they are laying right now. Let them feel the agony of the fire of God burning the demons out of them in the name of Jesus. I am the Father before the courts of heaven for a priest of Baal moment that absolutely humiliates the enemy on a level that has never been seen since before the foundation of the earth. Hallelujah. And it's
turn
not
everything
for
upside down on his own head.
Think about it. Look, do you want to go out in the streets, you and what, two or three other people biting their nails and carrying beanie weenies in a knapsack? Or do you want to go out with a lot of other believers that are empowered by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah, power and authority,
And the compassion of Jesus into these people's lives. When they open the door of their house and they're panicking, it needs to be like the best Christmas time you ever had at your family's house, and all of a sudden you hear Christmas carolers outside, and you open the door, and there's like 30 people out there dressed beautifully and singing Jesus songs. That's what we want to be like in the days that are coming up, not just a couple of people kind of, you know, unsure of themselves. This is a great opportunity for us to regroup.
Absolutely, yeah. This was a good, gentle shaking. This was good. This was a good, gentle shaking, getting things lined up.
Oh, yeah, and you can witness, you know, people oftentimes be like, well, what do I say? Man, think of a clever question. Just say, look at something. You don't have to, don't pigeonhole them into a corner. Don't, you know, if you go out to eat, which I highly recommend, if your state is reopening and you're able to go out to eat without having to look like
We're able to.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, think about it. Don't freak them out. You know, don't be like, you know what? Jesus is coming and that's why all this happened. You know, that is the fastest way to send somebody running down
seven to five
as fast as they possibly can. No one wants to have Jesus jammed down their throat like a bad, you know, fish sandwich, you know?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Just ask him a question. What do you think? Doesn't this kind of almost?
Oh, I
don't
do
know.
That. Draw him out a little. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just a smile and inviting. Yeah.
This is pretty crazy.
I enjoy doing
really,
that.
You know, ask them what they think and listen to what they say.
Yes.
Hear what they say.
Yes.
Because that's how the Lord will cue you on what your next comment will be.
That's right. That's right. You got to listen.
Planting seeds is a gentle process. I jokingly say many times, you don't push a seed into this nice, soft, fertile soil down an inch and a half and then go, grow, dag nabbit, grow. In the name of Jesus, I command you to grow. It's not how you do it. I don't understand why people don't get the simplest of analogies. Praise God. Let the Lord water the seed. Gently plant it. Let it grow.
Absolutely.
Exciting.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a powerful message, Diana, as always, and extremely timely and on target. I, for one, am a direct confirmation that what you were feeling was exactly what I was feeling. I didn't know why. It just didn't feel like the time was right. And I just saw this big opportunity for God opening up as a result.
I think
that's what we're going to see. And that is really cool.
I agree. Praise God, as you always say. Praise God.
And again, tell everybody where they can go to get more information off of your blog real quick.
Sure. The website is themightyhandofgod.com. That's themightyhandofgod.com. Yeah.
Praise God. TheMightyHandOfGod.com. Powerful. Lots and lots of powerful anointed messages that the Lord has imparted upon Sister Diana, and a really wonderful place to do some digging around and praying. Praise Jesus. And also, if you're in one of those unfortunate I never ever thought I would buy the whole blue and red thing, you know, but God is changing stuff right now. He's changing it up big time. And look, if you're in one of those unfortunate demon possessed blue states right now, where you got some kind of a shape shifting reptilian from the House of Windsor running your state, then, and you need a mask, JesusFaceMasks.blogspot.com. JesusFaceMasks.blogspot.com. I was looking for those and I didn't know anything about it. And then Sister Nancy, she's like, she fell in anointing and started making those things, and they're great and they're comfortable.
That's
and
awesome.
They have Jesus scriptures on them and everything. So consider that too, because what the heck, if you got to go out, you might as well make people.
Let's make it an impact. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I'd like to see somebody wearing one of those Jesus face masks standing in front of one of those guys with a, you know, skull and bones mask, you know, and, hey, just want to tell you that Jesus loves you, man. Your mask and be like,
hey, let me tell you that Jesus loves you,
look
man.
At the contrast.
Right?
Love it.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. God bless you. Everybody hang in there.
God bless you.
This is a great opportunity.
Thank you, John.
All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you at the Friday Night Prayer Vigil, Lord willing, 8 p.m. Take care.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners that the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul, remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. We are the branches on a living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free. Watch us as we trim our wicks. Our lamps are full, our hearts are right. Like those five wise virgins, we will be. Your bride awaits thee patiently. Longing for that blessed sound, that will rise. The churches gather, we're praying that we're worthy, Lord, to join our family. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? We will endure, and while we wait, we will bring forth the fruit of the light of Christ. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.